So I started by saying the practice is being here. And that unfolding present is in some ways open. It's completely open. And it depends, our sense of well-being and happiness depends on what it is that we put into this open, what I like to call an open field of creative possibility. That's another translation for emptiness. It's a field of openness and possibility. And the encouragement in the Buddhist teaching is that you plant the seeds in that moment, that you fill that space with wholesome states of mind and non-harming and really the seed cause of all the wholesome states of mind. You could say the navigator behind all of it is the cultivation of what we call sati sampajanya, mindfulness, clear comprehension. And as I mentioned yesterday, that every single moment of mindful attention, even though it seems so simple and so accessible in a way, is there awareness here? What am I aware of? And how natural that is, you can really overlook how liberating, how emptying, how filling that moment of mindfulness is with life, and how emptying it is of our usual preoccupations. Just one passage from that same teacher I quoted yesterday, Nisargadatta, says, when the mind is momentarily free of its preoccupations, and that's any moment of mindful attention, which is right here, when the mind is momentarily free of its preoccupations, it becomes quiet. And if you don't disturb that quiet and you stay in it, you'll discover that it's permeated with a light and a love you've never known, yet you recognize it at once as your natural state. It's natural. Once you've tasted this experience, you'll never be the same person again, he says, but the unruly mind will break that peace and obliterate that vision. But it's bound to return if the effort is sustained until all bonds are broken, grasping and aversion or grasping and attachment end, and life becomes supremely settled in the present moment. Really, we've always been settled in the present moment. We've always been present. There is no other. But our imagination has gone everywhere else. So we're just brushing all that dust of preoccupation and memory and letting the clear, our natural clarity, and then out of that love and light, the light of attention, that's allowed to shine. And out of that comes more. With more clarity, there's more skillfulness. You see what you're doing, and you see the impact of it, and you see who needs help, and you go help, it's not like I'm just free now. I can just be a blob of mindfulness and peace. The natural face of a mind that's free and empty, the wisdom of openness is love. So the Buddha went on and on about how do we reclaim the conditions for all of those wholesome qualities to express themselves and to grow. And first, which we will continue to use as our home base, mindfulness directed to the body. And it turns out that when we are continually experiencing only six things, as I spoke of yesterday, only experiencing six things, but each of those six things when they are triggered, when there's an experience of hearing or smelling or tasting or touching or thinking, each thing simultaneously arises concurrent with along with a feeling tone. Some things just arise based on conditioning as pleasant, as unpleasant, or neither pleasant or unpleasant. That may not seem that important, but it is those little experiences of pleasant, unpleasant, and neither pleasant or unpleasant that are the ground, you could say, for all of the reactivity that triggers the whole proliferation of that imagination that loses sight of the bare experience and goes into a whole imagined world of past and future and me and you and them and the whole drama that plays out in our mind. It all comes as a result of the reactions to the things that are pleasant, unpleasant, or neither pleasant or unpleasant. So we try to pay attention to those reactions, because if you are aware and able to accommodate pleasant things and feel them, they rise and they fade. If you are able to accommodate the unpleasant, they arise and fade. If you are able to feel the things that are neither pleasant or unpleasant, just okay, without reaction, without spacing out, we don't just enter into virtual reality and become lost. We actually find some peace right in the middle of it all. But that's not how we're, that's the good news, is that when mindfulness rises up to notice this, the chain is cut that would usually lead to just being lost in a dreamscape, basically, and then mistaking our dreamscape for the reality, which is really just right here. I'm wondering how it feels for you to know that the only reality really in your life is right here. I don't mean the reality of your situation, that's more your history, your story, but reality is really just here. This is it. There's no other life. This is where you ended up. Not by accident, by conditions. They led to this reality. I find it very relieving. This is it, because this moment's kind of workable, isn't it? But we often don't just experience this. The pleasant is followed by liking, unpleasant by not liking, and neither pleasant or unpleasant followed by not noticing. And those little reactions in our mind of spacing, averting, grabbing, produces some kind of tension, some kind of dissonance. And if that's noticed, oh great, reacting, no problem. But if that goes unnoticed, there's a pressure that builds, and out of that comes a whole stream of reactivity that we call moods, emotions, thoughts and images. And so, because we're so conditioned, we have to learn how to navigate those as well. We have to navigate the states that form from our reactivity, like desire. We have to feel what it's like to have desire and have mindfulness enter into that too. Have mindfulness rise up to notice that all the characteristics of irritation, aversion, boredom, all those things. Have mindfulness rise up to notice what it's like to feel restless and agitated or worried, of collapsed, dull, cloudy, of confusion, uncertainty, doubt. We have to be able to notice those things. Those are the fruits of spinning far afield from just the bare data of sense experience. So we have to learn to navigate that, because that's what's showing up. That's the Dharma. So the Buddha focused a lot, and I'm skipping over to the fourth foundation of mindfulness. The Buddha described how once we are generally aware of our mind, if it's pushing away, or if it's grasping, or if it's neither one of those things, when we generally get to know the terrain of different states of the heart and states of mind, we start to discern which states actually create suffering and stress, and which ones bring a sense of well-being. And you know, that's number four. It's the fourth foundation of mindfulness, but that's what we're experiencing mostly, what we call the hindrances, the ones that are challenging to be with. So this morning, as we include the different states of mind, different moods and emotions, I want you to be especially sensitive to when desire is in your mind, because this covers both the second and the fourth foundation of mindfulness. Second is know when your mind is wanting, or is it grasping, know when your mind is averting, aversive, and know when your mind is delusive, you know, just cloudy, spaced out. Or when you're caught up in an identity, in a story about yourself. That's a fundamental delusion. So that's what we'll be covering this morning.